Now it was in the days of the Azymes, and when he had apprehended him, he cast him into prison. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Yesterday, we celebrated one of the most ancient feasts. I'm speaking of immovable feasts, ones that are fixed to a certain day every year. It was one of the most ancient feasts, along with that of St. John the Baptist, that the Roman Church has celebrated. At first, yesterday's feast was the feast of all the apostles, all 12 of them. But then gradually, Holy Mother Church gave to each of them their own special feast day. And so it ended up that Saints Peter and Paul were honored alone yesterday. But because they wanted to give to both of these, the greatest of the apostles, due honor, not just a shared feast day, they would extend this feast to June 30th, which is today, and we honor St. Paul and his conversion in a very special way. I'd like to speak to you today about the martyrdoms of Saints Peter and Paul, to give you a little bit of the background. What was going on in those days that led up to their death? Now, since the persecution in the year 64, Rome was a dangerous place for Saint Peter to live, to be seen. He, though, remembering that occasion on which Christ appointed him shepherd, you remember that? Simon Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. It was on that occasion that he was appointed a shepherd. Remembering that, St. Peter remained in Rome with his people, waiting day in and day out for the day on which he would shed his blood along with fellow Christians. Now, around that same time, there was a man in Rome, Simon Magus, or Simon the Magician. He was a heretic, and he was also the reason why we have called simony what we have. He tried to purchase from the apostles the spiritual power to give the Holy Ghost. He tried to purchase it, and that's simony. And it was named that after Simon, the magician, who is the first one to ever commit that sin. This would cause problems between the apostles and the heretic. Then gradually, Simon the magician would lead souls away from St. Peter and away from the Christian church. He would lead souls by his prodigies, false miracles, miracles that can be explained away in a very natural way. Now, while all this is going on, remember that St. Peter is working miracles of his own. He had raised Tabitha, an old widow, from the dead. Proven miracle. He had been all over the city preaching, working miracles, converting many, many souls. Now he's a public figure. But Simon the magician had won the favor and the friendship of the Emperor Nero. So it is not looking like a very good situation for the Catholic Church or for the apostles. So in order to lead more souls away from the Catholic Church, Simon the Magician announced publicly that on such and such a day, he would levitate into the air. He did this in hopes of drawing people away from the church. So the news spread all over Rome. Everyone was looking forward to seeing this so-called miracle. During that time, he stayed, by the way, in the palace of Nero. So Nero, too, was very much looking forward to this spectacle. So the day finally arrived. Many hundreds, perhaps thousands of people had shown up to see this miracle, which was to be one of the greatest miracles of all. And Nero was there, St. Peter was there, and sure enough, Simon flew through the air. But at that moment, it says that St. Peter prayed that the demons who were there, he did a sort of exorcism, that the demons that were there causing Simon to fly through the air would depart. And he did that, perhaps in the name of our Lord. The demons left, and Simon fell to the ground in a pool of blood. He died on that very occasion. And this was to be the final straw, because not only did Simon the magician die in such a humiliating way, but it reflected on the emperor who supported him, who believed in him. And so this was quite a disgrace that reflected on the emperor. This incident also called much attention to St. Peter, an attention which would become quite disastrous. Along with this, there is also what St. Paul called the perils of false brethren. You have to remember that then as now, there are always false brethren in the Catholic Church. There are those that clash because of character. They don't get along, and sometimes they outright hate one another. And then St. Clement, who is an eyewitness of the life of St. Peter, says that the, quote, rivals and jealousies in the church played a big role in St. Peter's martyrdom. Now, the Christians saw all of this building up. So they told St. Peter to leave Rome for a while. St. Ambrose says that St. Peter would have much preferred to stay in Rome and to suffer, but he did leave along the Appian Way, and when he reached one of the gates, he meets our Lord on the way. But our Lord is walking the other way back to Rome, and St. Peter is stunned. He looks at our Lord and he says, Domine, quo vadis? Lord, where are you going? And our Lord looks at Peter and tells him, back to Rome, where I must be crucified again. St. Peter knew exactly what it meant for him, who is the true vicar and representative of Christ on earth. So he turned back a full 180 and walked boldly back into the city of Rome and awaited his end. So Peter got everything in order. He wrote a second epistle, which was his farewell letter to the Christians. And in this epistle, he made the comparison of this, that he compared his body to a temporary shelter. He called it a tent which one takes down to journey further on. And so he was showing his faith that, yes, this shelter would die, but he's packing it up so he can continue the journey into eternity. A beautiful thought that he wrote to his subjects. Now, on a certain day, the pagans came together, and they gave the order to go and arrest St. Peter. They say that the details are really lacking at this part, but sacred tradition says that he was imprisoned in the Mamertine prison. There were two sets of stairs set on either side of this great building. They were called the Steps of Sigh, because they would sigh out of grief when they would go up and down. The dungeons were extremely dark. And they speak of certain martyrs, I'm thinking Saints Perpetua and Felicity especially, that mentioned they were, when they were held hostage in the dark dungeons, they were terrified of the dark. It was a heavy cross for them. So, but this dungeon was so deep into the ground that they would have to be let down with cords and then raised back up with cords. And this was the case for St. Peter. So on the 29th of June, it was the year 67, he was finally drawn up by those cords. And the Roman law then was to scourge him first before a capital punishment could be administered. So they scourged him, led him outside the city walls, and Peter, all the while, walking fearlessly. He knew what sufferings were coming to him. He knew he was going to die, but he knew it would be over in an instant, and he would see God face to face. And so he walked, perhaps with some trepidation, but fearlessly at the same time. And he was followed by a long line of faithful Christians. He came finally to the place of execution and saw his cross. And you know the story. They were going to hang him on the cross as they did our Lord. But he told them, requested of them, that he be hung with his head downwards so as not to be like to be like our Lord, whose cross should be honored. And so they granted this petition. And all the while that Peter was hanging there, the blood rushing to his head, he prayed for Rome, he prayed for the world, and you can be sure that he prayed for all future Catholics. That is the martyrdom of St. Peter. Now Paul, going back 2 years to the year 65, he came back to Rome in that year, and his presence there was very well known. He was a very well-known man for all of his travels and his missions and everything else. So it was very well known. He made converts even in the Caesar's palace. That is how well known he was at that point. So this was to be the beginning of the end for him, when he began making converts in the emperor's own palace. So Nero, the awful man, had a concubine. He as well had a cupbearer, which all the emperors had, who would bring them their drinks and everything. And St. Paul converted these two. Nero was enraged at St. Paul for having converted them. They did not only convert in accepting the faith, but they changed their whole way of living. Nero was without a concubine now. And so he was totally enraged. So, and he was bent on killing St. Paul now. He was bent on it. First, he captured St. Paul and put him in prison. But even in prison, Paul preached to that concubine and the cupbearer. He said, he wrote to his disciple, St. Timothy, he told him, the gospel is not bound by chains. And so he'd preach while he was chained in the prison. And he perfected the conversion of that concubine and the emperor's cupbearer. And now St. Paul knew for sure he was doomed. So on the 29th of June, same year of St. Peter's martyrdom, while Peter was being led up on the right side of the Tiber River to be executed, on the left side of the Tiber, St. Paul was being led, along with many other Christians, to his place of execution. And he was then beheaded. And a little miracle happened at that point. When his head was cut off, they say that it bounced on the ground three times. And in each of these three spots, a spring miraculously came out of the ground, which are still in existence today. A miracle to show that our Lord is showing how pleasing the death, the beliefs of his saints. Now, when we think of these two martyrs, how can we not be proud of our Catholic heritage? These men gave their life, spent their life preaching the gospel, facing dangers at every moment, and then finally freely gave up their lives for the faith. And if they had not done it, perhaps you and I would not have the faith today. They spread the faith by their tears and by their blood. Tertullian said that the blood of Christians, the blood of the martyrs rather, is the seed of Christians. The more Christians were put to death, the more the church grew. It wasn't spread by the sword as Islam or any of these other religions. It was spread by tears and by blood, by accepting martyrdom. And St. Pius X said that there is a sort of fifth mark to the church. He said that this mark is that of persecution. The church and Christians will always be persecuted, will always have something to suffer from the world, from the devils, who do not want this church, this instrument in the salvation of souls, to continue. So on this great feast day, thank Almighty God for the faith that has been given to you, for the faith that is not given to so many other millions, even billions of people who are alive with you today. But you have been given this faith. Treasure it. Be ready for every doctrine that the church teaches to shed your blood. To shed your blood. Be ready as a follower of Christ if you wish to bring more souls to our Lord. Remember, it's not only prayers, but it's by tears and by blood that we win conversions. One priest, and I end with this, came to the curé of ours and asked why he, this other priest, was not able to convert his parish. He said, "I pray for them all the time." And the curé looked at him and said, "Ah, you pray, but do you scourge yourself?" In other words, prayer must be united to penance if we wish to convert souls. Let us think then today the blood, the sweat, the tears of our blessed martyrs who preserved the faith for future generations. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.